The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kesser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Yossi Rosenfeld.
Bruchim Abayim, we're going to be continuing with Hilchos Brachos. Simen Nun, we're up to Sif Yud Beis. Let's just review Sif Yud Aleph. The Kitzur is talking about if you have two types of food that have the same bracha. The example he gave was if you had an apple and a nut, so you can make the bracha on one and exempt the other one. The Kitzur also talked about it, if one of them was more chashuv, one of them was, for example, Shivas Haminim, you had, let's say, a grape and an apple, you should make a bracha on the grape and part of the apple. If you made a bracha on the apple and he didn't have in mind specifically to part of the grape, to exempt the grape, he would not exempt the grape. If he had in mind specifically when he made a bracha on the apple to exempt the grape, then he could exempt it. That was a halacha in Sif Yud Aleph. In Sif Yud Beis, we're going to be talking about if you have two foods that are not the same bracha. Let's say you had a fruit and a vegetable. What would be the halacha of making a bracha on one and exempting the other one? The halacha is that on fruit one makes a bracha ha'itz, on vegetables one makes a bracha of ha'adama. If by mistake one made a bracha of ha'adama on a fruit, he would exempt that fruit, he would pater that fruit. So we're going to see the halacha in this sif Yud Beis. When you're making a bracha on two types of fruit, one is ha'itz, one is ha'adama. The Kitzur says like this, Aval imheim shnei minim. Until now we were talking about if both foods were ha'itz. But let's say the foods were not the same type of bracha. They're not the same type. Kigon priya eitz upriya adama. Like, for example, one had a fruit that the bracha is ha'itz, and he had a vegetable that the bracha is ha'adama. Odavar shebrachasa shehakol. Or let's say he had something which is ha'itz or ha'adama, and the other food was a shehakol. Even though, after the fact, if one made a bracha of shehakol on anything, whether it's ha'etz or ha'adama, the shehakol would exempt it. Or if you made a ha'adama on the fruit, he would be yotzi, he would exempt the bracha on the fruit. That even though the chatchila, when one is coming to make a bracha, he should make a bracha of ha'etz on the fruit. But if he made a bracha of ha'adama on the fruit, he would be yotzei, because technically the fruit grows from the tree, which grows from the ground. So you could say that the fruit is coming from the ground. That's why the bracha on fruit that grows from the ground would exempt the bracha of the fruit. But still, mikol makom lechatchila asur la'asos kein. But still, lechatchila, ideally he should not do that. He should not take the vegetable, make ha'adama on that, and have in mind to exempt the fruit. He should make ha'etz on the fruit, ha'adama on the vegetable. Ela yivarech al kol echad ve'echad bracha hamiyachadis lo. He should make on each specific one the bracha which is designated for it. That in this case, let's say he had, for example, an apple and a carrot. If you would take the carrot, have in mind with his ha'adama on the carrot to exempt also the apple. So, but you have it after the fact, it would exempt the apple. But however, that's wrong. What he should do ideally is to make a bracha ha'etz on the apple, and ha'adama on the carrot, make separate brachas on each one, the appropriate bracha to each one. Ubirkas bori priya etz kodemes. The bracha of ha'etz comes before the bracha of ha'adama. The bracha of ha'etz is specifically on the fruit of a tree. The bracha of ha'adama is on anything that grows from the ground. Therefore, because the bracha of ha'etz is more specific than the bracha of ha'adama, it would have kedima, it would take precedence to the bracha of ha'adama. And we'll see more Be'ez Hashem in Simen Nunhei about the halachas of kedima, which brachas take precedence over other brachas. The Kitzur continues, Va'afilu yesh lefanav yayin va'anavim, even if he has wine and grapes, Verotza lishtos yayin kodem, and he wants to drink the wine first, umavarich bar pri agafen, and he makes the bracha bar pri agafen. So theoretically, what we're discussing over here is what is the relationship between the bracha of hagafen as it relates to grapes. The bracha of hagafen, I make a bracha, thank you Hashem for creating the fruit of the vine. That's what Chazal had in mind with that bracha, that should be the bracha on wine. But technically, the fruit of the vine is also grapes. So if you made the bracha bar pi hagafen on grapes, so the Kitzur is saying after the fact, but he would exempt it. So continuing in the Kitzur. Again, affiliation of fun of yain vanavim, even if he has wine and grapes, and he wants to drink the wine, and he makes a bar pi hagafen on the wine. Even though, if he would have intention with the bracha of hagafen to exempt the grapes, he could exempt them. If one would make hagafen on grapes, he has technically made an appropriate bracha on grapes, because he made you thanks Hashem for the pre-hagafen, the fruit of the vine. So even though he could exempt with his bracha on the wine, he could exempt his grapes. However, ideally he should not do this. He may not start off with a bracha of hagafen that should also exempt the grapes. He should intend not to exempt the grapes. He should intend with his bracha of hagafen, he's only making that on the wine, and afterwards he'll make ha'etz on the grapes. In order to make a bracha on the grapes, the bracha that Chazal established for them, that's the bracha of Bari Priya Eitz, that even though technically had he had in mind with his hagafen to exempt the grapes, it would exempt them, but he may not do that l'chadchila. Ideally, he should not do that. He should make a hagafen on the wine, don't intend to exempt the grapes, make ha'etz on the grapes. You see from the Kitzur that if one had two foods in front of him, he had, let's say, an apple and a carrot. He made hadama on the carrot. Technically, if he had in mind to exempt the apple, it would exempt the apple from the bracha of ha'etz. He would not need to make a ha'etz on the apple, because the hadama on the carrot that he intended for the apple would also exempt the apple. The Mishnah Berurah brings down opinions that argue. There are opinions that say, if he had two foods in front of him, he had, let's say, again, the apple and the carrot, he made hadama on the carrot. Because the hadama had a food to be chal, is the word you would say, that it has something to take hold of, the bracha sort of takes hold on the carrot, it does not go and cover the apple. And according to this other opinion, if he made a hadama on the carrot with intending to exempt the apple, he does not exempt the apple. He only exempts the carrot because the bracha sort of takes hold on the carrot. It does not exempt the apple. It's only if he made the bracha specifically on the apple, if he made a hadama specifically on the apple, he would exempt the apple with the bracha of hadama. But if he made hadama on the carrot and had in mind for the apple, according to this other opinion, he would not exempt the apple. And the Mishnah Berurah says that the halacha is, if he had in mind to exempt the other thing, because it's a machlokas, because he had this difference of opinion, if it would exempt it, one should not make another bracha on the apple, which is like the Kitzur is saying over here, that if one had specific intention when he made a bracha on the carrot to exempt the apple, it would exempt it. But still, nevertheless, even though it would exempt it, l'chadchila, ideally one should not make a bracha on the carrot to exempt the apple. So that's the halacha. If you made a bracha on the carrot to exempt the apple, or any hadama to exempt it, it would exempt it, it would patur it. But l'chadchila, one should not do that. Ideally, one should not do that. Let's see halacha, Yud Gimel. B'chol advarim chutz min apas. In any food besides for bread, if he was mishana his makom, if he changed his place literally, meaning he was eating in one place and he decided to eat in a different part of the building. We're going to be discussing these halachas of shini makom, changing one's place in the venue that he's eating. So anything besides for bread, if he changed his place, afal pi shelo hesiach dato, even though he has not diverted his intention, meaning even though he was planning on continuing his meal, and he hasn't stopped, or he hasn't decided to stop eating at any point, he has intended to continually eat, but he decided he wants to continue his meal in a different part of the building, for example. And it's a different room in this building, at least according to Kitzer rule. We'll see more about that. So again, even though he has not diverted his intention from eating more, it's considered like a hesach hadassah. Hesach hadassah means if one diverted his intention from eating, one, let's say, was eating, and he decided, you know, I'm done eating. And then, for whatever reason, he changes his mind and he decides to eat more. But if he would have a definite decision to stop eating in a way that he was not planning on eating more, and something caused him to change his mind to eat more, he would need a new bracha rishona. He would need to make a new bracha before he eats more. So the same thing applies. If he changed the place, the venue where he's eating, that would also be like a hesach hadas, just like if he removed his intention. Literally, he didn't intend to eat more, and then he decided to eat more, he needed a new bracha. Also, if he makes a new makom, a new place to eat, a new venue, a different room in the building, according to the Kitzur, he would need to make a new bracha, unless it's bread. Why is bread different? Because by bread, the halacha by pass, is that if he made a bracha on bread, when the bracha rishon on bread, he must come back to that place in order to make the bracha acharon, in order to make the bracha after the bread. He has to come back to where he ate the bread. So by bread, there's no shini makom. We don't consider that he has changed his place because he's always sort of bound to the original place to come back there to make a bracha achrona. Therefore, by bread, if he started eating bread in one room, he went to a different room, since he's bound to make a bracha in the place that he ate the bread, it's not considered to be a shini makom. He's always bound to make a bracha on the bread on the place where he ate it. So therefore, there's no shini makom by bread, but by other foods, that if he would leave his place of eating, he can make the bracha achrona in the new place. Therefore, there's nothing binding him to his original place of eating, and there would be a shini makom to go to a new room. It would be considered a new venue to go to a new room, and he would need a new bracha before eating more. The Kitzur explains, therefore, someone who eats or drinks in a room, and then he goes to a different room, so to finish his eating and his drinking. He was eating, let's say, peros, eating fruits in one room. He goes, let's say, from the main part of the house to, let's say, the attic, and he wants to finish eating in the attic. Even if he's eating from the original fruits, he was eating, let's say, apples in the main part of the house, and he's eating more apples in his attic. Even if he's holding in his hand the food or the drink, and he's carrying it to the second room, even though he's physically holding that food that he started in the first place, and he brings it to the new place. Still, he needs to make a new bracha rishona, a new bracha preceding the food that he's going to eat in the new venue. So if he ate in his dining room, he decides to continue eating in his attic, and he's eating, let's say, apples. Even though he's holding the apples in his hand, when he goes from his living room to his attic, he would need a new bracha in his attic, according to the Kitzur. Aval bracha achrona, al ma she'achad tchila eino tzarech. However, a bracha afterwards, on the first achila, on the original food that he ate, is not necessary. Ki abracha sheyivarech b'sof ta'al l'shneim, because the bracha that he makes at the end of the second achila, the second eating, will count for both. The kitzur means like this. Let's say he was having apples in his dining room, and he decides he's going to continue the apples in his attic. So one could make the argument that he should have to make a bracha acharon, he should have to make a bari nefashos on the apples that he ate in his dining room before he continues, because it's like two different achilos, it's like two different meals. And arguably one could have said he should have to make a bari nefashos on the apples that he ate already in his dining room, and when he continues in the attic, he'll start again. He'll make a bracha achron on the previous achilah, the previous apples, and start with a new bracha rishona on the new apples that he's eating in the attic. The kids are saying it's not the halacha. He did not need to make a bari nefashos on the apples that he ate until now. He may continue eating apples without a bracha acharon, without making a bari nefashos. He continues with a new bracha rishona in the attic. He'll make a new ha'etz in the attic, but he doesn't need to first make a bari nefashos on the apples he ate in the dining room. He can say that the apples that he ate in his dining room and his attic will be potter, will be exempt with the bari nefashos he makes after the second achila, after the apples he made in his attic. Just he needs to make a new ha'etz on the bracha, on the apples that he eats in the new venue. That's the halacha that the kitzur are saying. So it comes out from this, if a person would be mishana mokum, he would change his place from two different parts of a building, from one room to another room, and it's a clear change of venue, from one part of the building to another, and it's a different room, he would need to make a new bracha rishona according to the kitzur. The Mishnah Berura brings down an opinion that argues on this. Mishnah Berura says that ideally a person should not change the venue from one room to another. Ideally, if he's eating something that, if it's not bread, something that would require, that would not require a bracha in its place. Let's say, for example, fruit, like we're talking about. Fruit does not require a bracha achrona in the place it was eaten, and therefore there would be a shinui makom by fruit. So Mishnah Berurah says, if he'd actually go to a different building, let's say he goes from one building to another, that certainly would be shinui makom. If he changes from one building to an entirely different building, that would be considered shinui makom. But just from two rooms in the same building, let's say from the dining room to the attic, l'chatchila, ideally he should not do that. He should not change his venue of where he's eating the fruit. But b'di'evid, once it was done, if he went from his living room to his attic, according to the Mishnah Berurah, he would not need a new bracha rishona. He would not need to make a new bracha on the fruit he eats in his attic, because since they're both under the same gag, under the same roof, according to the Mishnah Berurah, that would not be a shinui makom. So we have this divergence of opinion. According to the kids, going from one room to another is a shinui makom. It will require a new bracha on foods like fruit or things that do not require a bracha achrona in their original site. And according to Mishnah Berurah, even though the chatchila, ideally one should not change his venue from one room to another, but the evidence, once it was done, it would not require a new bracha rishona, a new bracha on the food eaten in the second room under the same roof. Let's see halacha yadalad. Until now we were talking about if he was eating in one room and then he changed his venue. The kitzur says, v'chein im halach l'chutz. Similarly, if he was eating in one room, let's say he was eating in his dining room, now he leaves his house, he goes out to the street, v'achar kach chozer l'mkomo ligmor achilaso, and after he ate in his living room, he went to the street, he came back to the original site of where he was eating. Ligmor achilaso, he wants to finish his eating. He was eating in his dining room, he left to the street, and he came back, and he's continuing to eat exactly where he started eating. But in the meantime, he left his house. He left to a place that's not considered the same makom, it's not considered the same place as his house. Tzorach levarach mechadosh bracha rishona. He needs to make a new bracha rishona. He needs to make another bracha on what he continues eating. Because by leaving his house, even though he didn't continue eating in the place that he left to, he didn't eat when he left to the street, but because he left his house and went to the street, he went to a different makom, a different venue, so when he comes back, he needs to make a new bracha rishon, a new bracha before the food he continues to eat, a new bracha rishon, a bracha made, let's call it a ha'etz, on fruit, for example, if he wants to continue eating fruit. What is the case that we're talking about that if he leaves and comes back, that he needs to make a new bracha? That's if he's eating alone. If he's not part of a chabura, he's not part of a group of people that are eating in that place. He's not. Let's say there's no group of people eating in his dining room. He's eating alone. Or let's say he was eating with a group, and they all were mishanim makom. They all changed their place. The Gemara gives the example: you had a group of people eating, and there was a chasna rakala going by. There was a wedding taking place. The entire group left to escort the chasna or the kala. So, in such a case, there's no one left in the original makom, the original venue, that could, so to speak, save the spot for the people that left, that they should be considered that there's something left in the original place. If all the people left, or if the person was eating alone, there's nothing, so to speak, pulling him back to his original place, and therefore it would be considered a shini makom, it would be considered that he changed his venue by leaving, even if he comes back to his original site. Kitza continues, aval emecha nishar al makom. However, if there's one person who remained there, if even one person from the group remained in the original spot, azai, then gam elu shaholchu, even the ones that left, the ones that went out to the street, for example, kaven shedatam lachzor lekan el ze shenishar kan, since they're intending to come back here to the person who's remaining here, veligmar kan achilah, since they're going to finish their achilah, their meal, in the original site where they left someone from the chabura, someone from the group was left there. Lachen kishechosin va'ochlen noshosin, therefore when they come back and they eat or drink, enam tzrichim levarich mechadash, they do not need to make a new bracha. Tekeim shenishar kan echad, since there's at least one person who remained there, lo nisbatel hakevius, the permanence, the situation of them being situated in this venue, that they're deciding to eat in this venue and they're not moving from it, that permanence is considered to remain as long as one person from the group stayed behind. The kulam chozrin lekviyus, and they are going back to that place that they're appointed to be, that they're setting aside a situation of permanently making that their place to eat the suda there. It's considered to be one meal. It's not considered to be a break in the meal as long as there are people or even one person from the group that stayed there. So according to the halacha, the kitzur saying over here, which is agreed upon by all the poskim, all the halachic opinions would agree, if they left over anybody from the group in the original place, it would not be a shini makom. It would not be considered to be like they changed their venue. Therefore, if they had a chabura, they had a group eating, if at least one person is left over, that would be considered that there was no shini makom. They did not, anybody that left is sort of tied to the original place because of the person left there, and therefore it's not a shini makom. And again, like the kitzur said in halacha before this, even if they didn't leave anybody behind, if he was eating bread there and he left, even if there was no one left behind, if it's bread which requires him to come back to make the bracha acharona, he has to make the benching in his place, let's say in his dining room, that also would not be a shini makom if he leaves, because he has to come back to make the bracha on the pas, the bracha on the bread. Let's see halacha test above. The cheder echad mipina lapina, in the same room, if he's going from one corner of the room to the other, af al pi shacheder gadol ma'od, even though it's a very large room, that there's a very large distance he's going from one part of the room to the other, lo havi shini makom, that would not be considered shini makom. As long as the room is one room, there's no shini makom within the room, and therefore it's considered to be one makom, one area. I just want to mention, in terms of these halachas of shini makom, this discussion that the kitzur is talking about is in terms of the halachas of brachos. If a person made a bracha in one area and he decided to go to a different room or a different building, whether he came back to the original spot or continued eating in the second place, so by anything besides for bread, and he didn't leave over a chabura, he didn't leave over people from the group to come back to, there would be shini makom. So these are halachas of brachos. There's a discussion in halachas of Shabbos. There's a halacha that if a person makes kiddush, He has to have a suda, he has to have a meal in the place where he made the bracha of Kiddush. There's a similar set of halachos. If a person made Kiddush in one room, is there a problem of shini makom to go to a different room? We'll just mention halacha lemaisa very quickly. In terms of Kiddush, if a person made Kiddush in one building, he went to a different building, it would be a problem of shini makom to go to the different building. In terms of going from one room to another, if he made Kiddush in one room, and he ate in a different room, if he had das, if he had intention, when he made Kiddush in one room to eat in a different room, that halacha lemaisa would not be a shini makom for the sake of Kiddush. But it's just, I think it's important to note that similar to the halachas of shini makom in terms of a bracha, you also have these halachas in terms of Kiddush. That's the halacha tezayin. Im ocha peres began, if he's eating fruit in a garden, shum mukaf mechitzos, that the garden has a machitza, which is a fencing. It's a garden which is contained with walls. Ubirach al peres me'ilan echad. He made a bracha on the fruit of one tree. Adas le'echal gam me'ilanos acherim. And he's intending to eat from different trees. There's many different species of trees. He made a bracha, let's say, on the apple tree, intending on eating from the orange tree or other types of trees that are ha'etz. Yochal le'echal gam me'ilanos acherim. He's able to eat from the other types of trees. Even though he cannot see his original place, even though this tree is blocking him from seeing his original place, but as long as the garden is surrounded with mechitza, surrounded with walls, there is no shini makom. We're not require a new bracha. He's not considered to be changing his place to go from one tree to another. Kol shelo hisiach da'ato, as long as he has not diverted his attention, he has not diverted his intent of eating, meaning he intends, as long as he's in the garden, he plans to eat from whatever tree he has a desire to eat from. The fact that it's other trees blocking his view from the original site would not be considered a shini makom as long as the garden is surrounded with walls. Vein soch levarach shenis. He does not need to make a bracha again. Aval im ein hagan mukaf mechitzas. However, if the garden is not surrounded with walls, there's many trees in this orchard and there's no wall surrounding it. Umikol shekein migan zeh legan acher. And certainly, if he transfers to a different garden, lo mahani dato. Even though he intends to eat from all the trees, if the garden is not surrounded with walls, or if he goes to a new garden. And the Kitzur doesn't speak this out specifically, but we're talking that he cannot see his original place. If he can't see his original place, and he goes to either new trees in another part of the orchard without seeing his original place, or he goes to a new orchard, then the halacha would be, that would be considered a shini makom. He would need to make a new bracha. That's considered that he went to a new venue if he transfers to another garden, or the same garden to other trees where it's not surrounded with walls, and he can't see his original site. The Mishnah Berurah brings down an opinion that disagrees with this. There are those that say that if it's one orchard, one garden, then as long as he had intention to eat from all the trees of that orchard, even though it's not surrounded with mechitzos, then it's not considered to be a shini makom. It's not considered to be a change of venue. As long as it's one orchard, and he was planning on eating all the trees of that orchard, that would not be considered to be a shini makom. So that's a difference of opinion. According to the Kitzur, if the orchard is not surrounded with walls, and he cannot see his original place, that would be a shini makom. According to this opinion that the Mishnah Berurah quotes, even if it's not surrounded with walls, as long as it's one orchard, even though he cannot see his original site, as long as he had intention to eat from all the trees, it would not be considered to be shini makom, it would not be considered to be a new venue, and therefore he would not need a new bracha, according to that opinion that the Mishnah Berurah brings down. If you look on the website of Kitzur 365, you'll see an article about when one eats when he's traveling, the different halachos that are relevant to eating while traveling.